Well, now let's, as we consider God's word as well, let's again come to him in prayer and ask for God's help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalm 119 and ask that by your Spirit you would help us to understand. Lord, may we have a great love for your word. May we know who it is that you have made us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we should introduce a new proverb into our society, one that would prevent much heartbreak and angst. And that proverb is, never propose near water. There are countless stories of men getting down on one knee, and somewhere between the man asking the woman and the ring going on the finger, the ring is dropped. It's dropped into the water, down a drain, over a waterfall, into a lake. There are heaps of videos on the internet showing proposals gone wrong. There's a desperate grabbing as it falls. Sometimes the man will jump into the water, desperate to find it. Even strangers who see what has happened will dive in to help. Sometimes the man and the woman, they just stare at the water, hands on heads. A moment of joy turned to regret and angst. The ring is valuable. Not just a sentimental value, though that'd be bad enough. The ring itself costs money. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars has just sunk into the water, never to be seen again. Engagement rings are valuable. Never propose near water. But there's something more tragic than losing a ring. Here's my bad segue. There's nothing more tragic than losing a ring. There's something more tragic than losing a ring. It's losing yourself. Not knowing your own identity and what you are meant to do. Every church faces this danger. But unlike the dropping of an engagement ring, which is quick and jarring, the loss of a church's identity is often gradual and barely noticed. Which means that every church in every age needs to be vigilant. We need to know who God has made his church to be and what he has made us to do. We saw last week that we are a served and a serving people. God has served us by saving us. And we serve others as ambassadors of God, proclaiming that message of reconciliation. This week, we'll see that God has made us a listening and a speaking people. That's another answer to the important question that we're exploring over these 4 weeks. Who are we? And so we're looking at Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112 today, and we'll see two things about the church. First, we'll see that we are to listen to God by reading his word. And second, we are to speak to God through prayer. God has made us for a relationship with him, and like any relationship, it involves communication. And so let's look at Psalm 119, verse 105 to 112, and listen as God speaks to us through his word. Our section starts with words that you may have heard many times before. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What an incredible way to describe God's word. It is light for us, showing us the way to go. What does that mean? Does the psalmist mean that whenever he comes to a fork in the road of his life, whenever there's a decision to be made, that the Bible will tell him what to do, what road to take. When he has to decide between a job in Rochester or Echuca or Wodonga, that he can just open up his Bible and it will reveal the truth to him. It will lay out the light, showing clearly where God wants him to go. Well, look at verse 106, the very next verse. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. The psalmist isn't saying that the Bible offers guidance for specific decision making. He's saying that the Bible offers moral guidance. Instead of shining on the fork in the road, it shines so that we can walk on the path that we're on and not stumble. We are on a path in the dark, and on either side of us is a great chasm. Without the light, we will deviate from the path and fall to our destruction. But God's word, the Bible, is a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. With his word, we know the right way to go, the right way to live, even when we're not sure what city we should live in. And because his word shows the right way to live, the psalmist has sworn that he would obey it in verse 106. He's devoted himself to walking by the light of this lamp. Not that he'll do it perfectly. Of course he won't. He's human like the rest of us. But this verse shows the attitude of his heart, his desire to live God's way. And this desire to obey God has brought both joy and pain. In verse 107, he begs God to revive him according to his word because he's afflicted. His enemies hate him in verses 109 and 110. But no matter the obstacles, the public pressure, the suffering that can come his way, he won't give up on God's word. We know what it's like, don't we, to suffer for God's word, for obeying God's word. Hey kids, listen up. Here's something really important, kids, that you need to hear. You need to be prepared for this. The Bible promises that if you believe the Bible, if you believe the Bible throughout your life, there are going to be people who don't like you. You won't be allowed to play some games, and some people won't want to be your friends because you believe the Bible. There are people in this church, our church family, who know that pain all too well. People who might have lost jobs because of believing the Bible. People who can't see their family very much because they believe the Bible. And in some countries, there are Christians who even go to prison for believing the Bible. You need to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared that some people won't like you because of the Bible. But the person who wrote this psalm still loves God's word. And Psalm 111 says, verse 111 says, he'll always have God's word and it will always bring him joy, because having God's word means knowing God. And nothing comes close to being as good as knowing God. Now, some Christians don't have this view of the Bible. They like the Bible, but they want more. They think that the Bible is God speaking to people back then, and that's good, and we can learn stuff from it, but we need God to speak to us now, today. We need the Spirit to bring a new word. That's what they think. But is the Bible an old word? No, of course not. It is a living word. Through the Bible, God speaks to us today. Hebrews 3 verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, and what does it say? It quotes Psalm 95. When we read the Bible, written way back in the past, we are hearing God's voice to us today. We are hearing and listening to the very voice of God. This is incredible that the great and the mighty God would speak to us, that we can know him and know the way that he wants us to live. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. At his church, as his church, we have his word. And that word brings eternal life as we believe the message about Jesus that it proclaims. It teaches what true life is. And it gives joy to the hearer who receives in faith. Who are we? We're the people who've been given the precious word of the living God. We are a listening people. And we're a speaking people. God speaks to us through the Bible, and we speak back to him in prayer. Because this psalm isn't just a description of God's word, a nice theological textbook that describes all the good things about God's word, telling of the benefits that come from reading it. No, this whole psalm itself is a prayer. The psalmist loves God's word, and so he tells him. See verse 105, that very first verse in our section. It's not God's word is a lamp to my feet. It's your word is a lamp to my feet. He's talking to God, not about him. It's full of words like you and your, full of requests and praises. This should never get old to us. We can come to our God at any time, freely, for any length of time, to talk about anything. Isn't that amazing? When this becomes normal to us, that tells us either that we think too little of God or we think too much of ourselves. We would never dream of waltzing into the Prime Minister's office and demanding to see whoever is the PM that day. I wouldn't even do that to Kai's school principal. I'd have to make an appointment. He's a busy guy. Who would have ever thought that we could freely approach the God of the Bible? God is holy. He is so pure that he will not allow sin into his presence. He is called a consuming fire, and he judges all those who have sinned against him. Our sin is the great barrier between us and God. We shouldn't be able to come to him, and God really shouldn't care at all what we have to say. But he is a God of grace. He does care. Not because we're so wonderful, but because he is. Because he is so good, he stoops down to us lowly creatures, ready to hear us when we cry out to him. Ready to use our prayers even for the fulfillment of his plans. And he does all of this not by ignoring our sin, sweeping it under the carpet, but instead by taking it away. Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. He died for us. And so now we can obey the urging of Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can enter God's presence through the body of Jesus, just like the Old Testament priests would go through the veil. And we can pray knowing that what James 5, verse 16 says is true. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why? Because God responds to prayer. Not because we're so good, but because He is. If you haven't already, you can enter God's presence through faith in Jesus. Trust that He came to die for you, to take away your sin, to bring new life, to give you a relationship with Him. Ask for forgiveness for your sin, your rebellion against the glorious God of all creation, and He will listen. Unbelievably, He will listen as you speak to Him. And He will speak to you through His Word, the Bible. Now, if you're part of this church and you already believe all of that, that means that you are part of a listening and a speaking people. At this church, we love God's Word. That's why, generally speaking, in preaching and Bible studies, we tend to go passage by passage. We sometimes explore topics. That's what this 4-week series is. We explore topics, but mainly we go one passage to the next. We don't want to miss or ignore anything. We want to listen to everything that God has to say to us. We want everyone here to be reading God's Word. That's the desire of the elders when we meet. We want people saturated in the Word of God. You don't need to wait for me to tell you what it means. If you're a Christian, you have God's Spirit. You can read God's Word yourself. We want everyone here to be engaging with God's Word as a family. We want everyone to be here on Sundays hearing God speak as His Word is read and as it's preached. That's most important. But we've also got Bible studies for this to happen, for us to be reading God's Word together, saturated in God's Word together. And if the times don't work out for you, well, let me know. You can also arrange to meet with someone in this church and to discuss the Bible. Open up a passage and discuss it. What does it mean? Just bring a Bible and a willingness to talk about it. We want this church saturated with God's Word, to be people who listen eagerly to God through His Word, following the light that it gives, seeing that everything in the Bible points us to Christ, who is Himself the light of the world. We're a listening people, but we're also a speaking people. We should be coming to God, responding to what He says to us. As you read of Jesus performing a miracle, praise Him for His power, His compassion. Pray that you'd remember who Jesus is, God in the flesh, our Maker, our Saviour. When you read the call to repent, to be holy, submit to authorities, pray for help. When you read of the responsibility to share God's Word with others, pray for wisdom and opportunities and boldness. Let's be a people who are eager to pray with and for one another. Every day, Beck and I will pray for this church. Every Sunday, we come together as a family and we listen to God and we speak to God. We have our prayer meeting on Wednesday morning. We pray for big and small things that matter to us and things that matter to God. There's nothing too small that God doesn't care about. There's nothing too big that He can't handle. We pray for people to be saved, that people would grow in faith and in the knowledge of God. We pray for Christ's return and for those who are suffering. Now, there's nothing particularly insightful about this sermon, about anything that I'm saying. The call is clear. We are a listening and a speaking people, and no doubt you already knew that. But if we let go of God, if we let go of His Word, we are lost in the dark. We have abandoned hope of knowing anything about God, of having the answer to any questions that we have about life and God and what comes next. If we stop praying, we are in trouble because we need God's help. We can't live the Christian life without Him empowering us to do it. We're not loving people if we're not praying for them. Now, if you want some practical thoughts and tips on prayer and Bible reading, then feel free to come and see me after the service. But for now, let's at least recognize what we are. We are a listening and a speaking people. And so let's fill our lives with God's Word. Let's pray for greater intimacy with Him, for Him to make us more like Jesus, and for Him to save many. Let's pray and trust that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's devote ourselves to being what God has made us to be, a listening and a speaking people. Let's speak to Him now. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise You for Your mercy to us, that You have shone the light of the gospel into our hearts. We thank You that You have spoken to us and that we can know You, that we can live how You would have us live. In Your mercy we pray. Help us to understand Your Word. Give us a love for Your Word. And give us an eagerness to pray for You, knowing that it is only through Your power that people can find faith in You and that we can live Your way. And we pray this for Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.